Well, more than half my life ago, I was a sixth grade teacher. And when I was teaching sixth grade, one of the concepts that we learn in sixth grade is about bias. So we learn what a facts and opinions and biases, which are different than opinions and facts. And as we read things, we learned how to identify bias. And we learned as we identified bias that sometimes we might like the particular bias of a piece of literature or a report or a textbook, and we might agree with that bias, but that doesn't make it unbiased. Well, news is different these days. And one of the things for which Donald Trump is probably going to be most remembered by, before 2015, it would have been "you're fired." But once 2015 came along, it was the term "fake news." And he was at, "that's fake news. Oh, those fake news people." And now it has become so commonplace in today's culture that it's used all the time. Remember, he was mocked when he first developed that term, and people say, that's just him. It's not fake news or whatever. Well, now we know that there's lots of fake news out there. It doesn't matter what channel you watch, whether it's on this from this political bias or that political bias, there's just a lot of fake news, and everybody uses the term fake news. And so now we have fact checkers that say, well, this is the facts, but then you gotta check the fact checkers because you find out that the fact checkers are bought and paid for, and they're also biased. So what is the truth? Well, in order to learn the truth, you gotta go to the primary source. That's what I do. I go to the primary sources. If I hear something, there's a little clip and you get like a sentence snippet of somebody said this crazy thing, then you go back and you find the original speech and you watch the whole thing. And either that person really is crazy because everything they say in that speech is crazy, or you find out that what they say was taken radically out of context and what the snippet that you heard is not what they really meant. Or you read a study and the study concludes that this is what we should do. Well, then you go back and you read the study. You gotta read the study and find out what did the study actually study. And I've been reading lots of primary source studies these past few years, let me tell you. And then you have to look at not just the study, but who did the study, who paid for the study, and then are the conclusions that are in the study that they say that are in the study really the conclusions that they came up with? Well, I can tell you today that this news that we celebrate today, that Jesus Christ is risen and alive, is not fake news. It is truth. We have, as close as we can get to a primary source here, but even more than that, there's a lot of evidence that we have that the news that we have that Jesus Christ is alive is not fake news. Well, when these women came back from the tomb on that early Easter morning, the disciples didn't know what to do with them. They thought they were telling fake news. But Peter went to the primary source. He ran back to the tomb and he found that there was no body in there. There wasn't a body. He didn't know what to do with it. But he knew it couldn't be fake news. He just didn't know what the real news was. Is Jesus alive? Something happened. We don't know. We have so many things today. We get snippets and a three little sentence that they'll call an article. But there's nothing there. Back in the day, you used to get facts. You used to get who, what, when, where, and how. So who, Jesus, what, is alive? Where at that he was alive from that tomb, he rose from the dead from that tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had put him in, that had been sealed by Pilate. When, early in the morning before dawn, on the first day of the week, during the Feast of First Fruits. How? Well, we don't really know how. We know it's the power of God. They didn't know how. And then why? To fulfill what Jesus had already said he was going to do, to defeat death, to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life. We know that it's not fake news because rarely are people willing to die for fake news. They might, as my boss says, get suicided to protect a lie, but nobody really dies for a lie because eventually the truth is going to come out. But we know that just a few years after Jesus' ascension, that people were willing to die for the news that Jesus is alive, that Jesus rose from the dead, and thousands of years later, people are still dying for this news. That is proof that what we hear today is not fake news. Not only that, the reason that people perpetuate lies is to get power. Nobody was getting power off of the fact that Jesus was alive. They were marginalized in society. They lost their livelihoods. They didn't get a whole lot of women and girlfriends because of it. That was not a motivation for them. None of that happened. So where there's lots and lots of evidence that what we hear today is not fake news, that it is the truth. We can trust that it's good news, even if we don't know all the mechanics, even if we don't know how, we can trust that Jesus Christ is alive is true news. There's not a scholar, any reputable scholar today, whether they're atheist or Christian or some other religion, they all will agree that there was no body in that tomb. Now, some will perpetuate the lie that was perpetuated, but all the way back in the book of Matthew, that Jesus' body was stolen. That is still going around today. There are lots of other theories on what happened, but they all agree that that tomb was empty. They also agree that these people were willing to die for something that they believed was the truth. Now, the scholar might not believe it was the truth, but they will agree to the fact that Jesus' followers believed that it was the truth. So that's just evidence that Jesus is alive is the truth, that it is not fake news. This message is incredible to many people. It's unbelievable. It's hard to grasp. And as we heard in our gospel this morning, that it was even hard for Jesus' own disciples to believe on that first Easter morning. Even though Jesus had told them on multiple occasions, which we've already looked at, that he would die and rise again from the dead, they just didn't believe it when these women told them that they heard from an angel. Now, when Peter ran back to the tomb, there weren't any angels there, so he couldn't ask those primary sources. But it's precisely because the fact that Jesus had told them multiple times prior to his death that they believed the angel. They remembered the primary source, Jesus' own words. Jesus didn't just share about his impending death and resurrection with the 12 disciples, but with all of his disciples, including these women. The angel says, remember when he told you. That means those times when Jesus was teaching and preaching, these women were around and they heard and they paid attention. Verse 8 tells us that the women remembered Jesus' words and it clicked with them. So then they run to report the news that Jesus had risen not only to the 11 remaining disciples, according to verse 9, but to all the rest. There were many others who were waiting for the news. And yet, in verse 11, we read that what the women said appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. A phrase that the scripture says over and over is, "The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." The concept of having ears to hear is found in both the Old and the New Testaments. The implication is that even those of us who have two good ears don't always hear. I've heard it said that the married couple spend most of their time yelling, "What?" from the other room when they're talking. That's most of our communication as married couples. I would say that's pretty common in our household. That we are yelling "what" from the other room. So See, we hear sounds, we hear words, but we don't really hear. To really hear is to listen and to respond. To listen to what is actually being communicated. But even more than that, we're called to comprehend and respond, or rather, be apprehended by the message that's being communicated. Now, there's plenty of reasons that we don't hear, besides needing hearing aids and those kinds of things and having ear issues. Sometimes it's simply because we're distracted. We're busy looking at our phone and our friend or our spouse is talking, and we don't hear because we're too focused on that device that's right in front of our face. Guilty. Sometimes it's because we don't want to hear. We just don't want to hear the news. Sometimes it's because we don't like the messenger. That's not somebody I would normally agree with or normally like or have as a friend, and what they're saying to me is something that I don't want to hear, even though it's true. And sometimes it's simply because we cannot believe the message. Our biases often lead us to think that something is fake news, even when it's the truth. We can't get past our preconceived ideas to hear the truth. Now, certainly, those remaining 11 disciples had heard way more than those women heard. They got to do things that the other disciples didn't get to do. And yet, they didn't believe. I think part of the reason they didn't believe was their own bias against women that prevented them from hearing. God had entrusted the most important news ever to a group of women. And Mark's gospel tells us that Jesus himself met them as they were returning. He met them on the road and told them, reiterated to them, to go and tell the disciples to tell them he was alive and tell them to go back to Galilee and that he would meet them there. And these weren't just any women. These were women who had faithfully followed Jesus, who had helped support him out of their own finances. And they didn't run away when Jesus was crucified. They were standing there at the cross all the way to the bitter end. They were blessed with the privilege of telling the rest of the disciples the good news that Jesus was alive. The 11 and the rest of the disciples might have had a hard time getting past their bias regarding the messengers to receive the message. But the fact that the message was hard to hear did not and does not invalidate it today. What biases keep us from hearing the truth? How often do we miss hearing and believing because we refuse to accept the messenger? We can't believe that a particular person has something important to say. We refuse to allow people to speak truth into our lives because we don't like them, we don't respect them, we think we're better than them, or we refuse to hear the truth because the messenger doesn't look right, they don't dress right, they aren't educated enough, they're too young or they're too old, they're the wrong color or the wrong political party or the wrong gender. How often do we forget that God chooses the weak things of this world to shame the strong? That God chooses the foolish to confound the wise? That God chooses ordinary people to do and say extraordinary things? Sometimes we don't hear the good news because of the message itself. It's just too incredulous for us to believe. The message is too surprising, and we think, nothing that good could ever happen to me. I don't deserve this news. Sometimes the message isn't logical. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't fit our own personal experience, so we don't trust somebody else's experience. Or maybe we just don't want to believe it's true, which is many people today. But the fact that Jesus is alive is fact. It is not fake news, and it is very, very good news. Good news that we need to hear. The truth that Jesus is alive is the very best news. Because of the resurrection, Jesus has made us not only brothers and sisters with Christ, but also with each other, that we are brothers and sisters. Because Jesus is alive, we have the sure hope of eternal life, which we have even now. Because Jesus is alive, our sins are forgiven. So let nothing keep you from hearing the fact today, from hearing this good news, this true good news, that Jesus Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Believe and receive the good news. Jesus lives. God loves you. Death is conquered. The devil is defeated. Eternal and abundant life can be yours in Christ. And no matter what happens, God is still in control. Friends, the news is not fake. We might not be able to fully prove it, but it certainly cannot be disproven. There's a lot of evidence, there's a lot of facts that indicate that the best choice that we can make, the best conclusion that we can make, is that Jesus is alive. It is not fake news. Let us pray.